We're going to start today's From His Heart broadcast with a personal question. How's your love life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
When you think of how's your love life, most of us think in terms of romance. We think in terms of a special someone, another human being. But how is your love life in terms of your relationship with Almighty God? How is your love there between you and the Lord?
He can heal every scar.
It's sad, but true. Many people don't think of love when they think of God. They usually think of religion, rules, or ritual. But Scripture often emphasizes relationship, and God wants to have a love relationship with His children. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate Valentine's Day, and we're going to learn about God's greatest commandment in today's lesson entitled, How's Your Love Life? It's a message that will describe what real love is all about. To listen to this message again or to share with a friend, which you're going to want to do, then you'll want to go to the radio link at fromhisheart.org, download a free MP3 of the broadcast. But first, open your Bible to Mark chapter 12. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to ask and give insight to you about your love life with God in a lesson entitled, How is your love life?
Now, in the Gospel of Mark, there was a man that asked Jesus a question one day about what is the most important commandment of all. And he asked this question. He sees them arguing, recognizes that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, what commandment is the foremost of all? What a question that was asked of Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? What's the foremost commandment? What's of first importance? That was his question. Now, the reason that that was important, and the reason that this guy asked Jesus that question, was he was trying to trap Jesus. See, the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious muckety-mucks, they were so into rules. They had reduced God down to just a bunch of rules. They had taken the Ten Commandments, and they had counted the Hebrew letters in the Ten Commandments, and they came up with 613. And so they scoured through the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, called the Pentateuch, five books, and they came up with 613 rules that you had to fulfill. And so he asked Jesus this question. Now, what he was trying to get Jesus to do was to say something against the law of Moses, to go against Moses. See, because if you went against Moses, you're a heretic. All the people recognized that Moses was a great prophet. And so he was trying to discredit Jesus to get him to say something that would cause the people to leave him and would cause Jesus to fall out of favor with the crowd. But Jesus answered that question. He answered it straight on. And he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, and that is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was in the book of Leviticus. But the answer is, it's all about love. I wonder today, do you love God? Do you love the Lord? You say, that's all there is to this Christianity thing, just love God? Well, man, that's easy. Sure, I love God. I mean, what's the alternative? I hate God? Well, no, I don't hate God. Then I must love God. Oh, but be careful. Be careful. Don't answer so quickly. If you had asked a Pharisee, do you love God? He'd have said, sure. Yes, of course. I recite that every day that I love God. But he didn't. So let's look today at what does it mean to love God, to really love God. Notice with me three insights. Insight number one, to really love God, it means you love him with your all. With your all. Did you notice in verse 30? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Four times, all. See, what does God want from you? What does he want of you? He wants 100% of you. That's what he wants. You say, well, I'm willing to give God 50%. God says, keep it. Keep it. I don't want 50%. He said, well, I'm willing to give God 75%. God says, no, keep it. Well, I'm willing to give God 95%. Forget it, God says. I want 100% of you. Now, here's the question. Does he have 100% of you? The Lord wants you to give everything over and to love him with all that you got. He wants you to open up. What does it mean to really love God? It means you love him with your all. Number two, insight number two, it means you love him with your obedience. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words. How can you tell if someone really loves God? By what they say? No, by what they do. It's not by their talk, it's by their walk. How do they live? You know how Jesus can tell if you really love him? You obey him. You do what he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? He says, and do not do what I say. And if you really love God, and if I really love God, we'll obey God. We don't argue with God. We don't fight God. We don't say, no, God, I'm not going to do it this way. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, because you're the master, you're the boss, and I love you, and you're not going to tell me something that's going to be bad for me, so I obey you. Jesus said, well, if you don't obey me, it just proves to me that you don't really love me. See, obedience is just love in action. That's what it is. It's love in action. And if I don't obey the Lord, I don't love him. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience that comes out of a heart of love. That's what he's looking for from your life and from my life. And see, sometimes God asks us to do things and we don't even understand it. And he said, I didn't ask you to argue with me about this. Just do it. The Lord asks us to do things. He just says, will you obey me? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 says, whatever he says to you, do it. Just do it out of a heart of love. Why? Because the love of Christ controls me, and because you love me, Lord, and I can trust you. Obedience is love in action. Well, what about when you disobey God? Anybody in here have trouble with disobedience? I do. No, there's none righteous, not even one. All of us fall. Here's the difference. See, some people fall into sin, and other people live in sin. John says, if you live in sin, you have to question your heart. Are you really even a Christian? 1 John chapter 2, he said, the one who says he knows him and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, all of us stumble and fall. But if you just live in sin, then you have to wonder, has the Lord really saved me? Because how does a Christian, someone who has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of him, how does that person live in sin? There's such conviction, you want to get out of the sin and you want to ask God to forgive you. But now, when you disobey God, he meets that disobedience with a question. Now, Peter is the example of this. Peter was the one who said, Lord, I'm willing to go with you to prison and to death. All may desert you, Lord, but I won't. You can count on me. And then Jesus, in his hour of need, when he was counting on Peter, Peter failed. Jesus knew he'd failed. He told him before the cock crows twice, you'll deny three times that you even know me. Oh, no, Lord, I'd never do that. And he did it. And when he denied the third time, the Bible says the Lord looked, turned and looked at Peter, and their eyes locked. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, you talk about sin. You talk about a sin. I don't know what you've done in this past week or this past month or the past 12 months or sometime in your life, but I bet you've never sinned quite as deeply as Peter sinned, denying the Lord in his hour of need. Well, don't you know that there was guilt just like a 1,000-pound gorilla on Peter? And the Lord had an opportunity, the resurrected Christ. He had a one-on-one time with Peter. And he didn't lambast Peter. He didn't come at Peter with a billy club. Wham, I can't believe you did that. He came at Peter with three questions. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Asked him three times. Why? Because love and obedience are inseparably linked. And if you love God, you will obey God. And if you right now are living in sin in your life and you're living with someone outside of wedlock, listen, that's a sin. And God says, you don't really love me if you're disobeying me. And the Lord gently, not with a hammer, he gently starts to deal with us and press into our hearts and say, listen, are you going to be serious about your walk with me? Serious enough to get things right in your life and let me cleanse those areas. Simon, son of John, do you love me? What does it mean to really love God? It means you give your all. It means you love him with your obedience. And thirdly and finally, it means you love him with his help. With his help. Listen, you know what's important to remember about the Christian life? You can't live it. And I can't live it. No one can live it. He's the one who lives it through us. Little poem says, I can't. He never said I could. He will. He always said he would. He wants to do it through you. That's how he wants to live out the Christian life. He wants you to live it out in his strength, in his power. And God doesn't ask you to love him without giving you the ability to love him with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says this, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. How am I going to love the Lord? Just in my own strength? No. He pours his love into you so you can give it back to him. How am I going to love that unlovable person at work or in the neighborhood or maybe living in my own house? He gives you love to love them. The love of God has been poured out within us.
It's an encouraging thought to know that God helps us even when our love is weak. Stay with us. Pastor Jeff Shreve returns on From His Heart in just a moment to continue describing how a weak love for God can increase. Hey, if you want to hear a wonderful example of real love, you'll want to read the book of Ruth in the Bible. And to study it more deeply, you'll get an incredible understanding of what real love is all about. And you'll want to get Pastor Jeff Shreve's inspiring 5-message series that we've been in so far this month called Beauty for Ashes, a verse-by-verse study of the story of Ruth. Now, this series points out the love-filled qualities that were embedded in Ruth's heart. She was compassionate with unfailing love, respect, grace, honesty, integrity, generosity, wholesomeness, virtue, honor, and kindness, just to name a few of her qualities. If you'd like to grow these qualities in your life, this series can help. It's our gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month. It's available in multiple formats, CD, DVD, MP3, or USB. And with that gift, we'll also send you the timely booklet, Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer. To get your copies, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go online to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for supporting From His Heart. Now let's get back to conclude this message called, How's Your Love Life?
How do you increase your love for God? Because that's a question I've asked myself for years. Lord, I want to have more of a heart for you. I want to love you more. How does that happen? I know, God, you've put your love in my heart, but how can I love you more? How can I tap into all of that love? Well, there are a few things that we can do that the Lord helps us to do. Number one, focus on the cross. You focus on the cross. See, because the cross is God's permanent reminder of how much he loves you. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says this, we love because he first loved us. How do we love? You can't love at all unless God first loved you. And when God shows his love to us and reveals his love to us, that enables us to love him back. No one in the world who has ever lived would ever seek after God if God didn't first seek after you. You would never love God if God didn't first love you. You want an example of that? Just go to the book of Genesis and see Adam and Eve hiding in the trees, away from God. They didn't seek God. They didn't say, oh God, I've sinned, please forgive me. No, they hid from God. God had to seek them. Adam, Adam, where are you? And so the Lord says, we love because I first loved you. And the way you develop a heart of love for God and grow in your love for God and tap into the love he's put in your heart for him is to focus on the cross and how much he loves you. I told a guy just the other day that I was witnessing to, I said, you know what you need to do, my friend? You need to go home and rent The Passion of the Christ and watch it. You see all that Jesus did for you because he loves you, because you're so special and you're so precious to him. He shed his blood for you. That makes you love him back. when you see what he did for you. I read a story just this week in one of my devotional books. It's a story about a 10-year-old girl who lived in the Philippines, true story. And this girl grew up in a pagan home, but she had some Christians talk to her and share with her the good news of Jesus. And they told her about the cross and they told her about his love. And she gave her heart to Jesus just as a 10-year-old girl. And they bought her a white dress, this girl, to show that she was pure and clean now inside. And the Lord had come and washed her white as snow. And she had this white dress and she was so excited. And she was wearing her white dress and she went home and her father was drunk. And her father didn't like Christianity. Her father didn't like those Christians. He didn't like the church. He didn't like what his daughter did. And in a drunken rage, he began to beat his 10-year-old daughter. And he beat her and beat her and beat her and threw her outside in the mud, left her there for dead. The Christians came. They heard what happened. They came and they got her and they took her to the hospital. She was badly, badly hurt. And she woke up from her unconsciousness. And she said, "Where's my dress? Where is my dress?" They said, "Darling, you don't want that dress. It's all dirty. It's full of mud and it's full of your blood. And no, you don't need that dress." And she said, "Yes, I want that dress." She said, "Jesus shed his blood for me. And I want to show him this dress and show him that I was willing to shed my blood for him." Just a few hours later, she died. She was so captivated by the love of God that was shown at the cross. A God who would shed his blood for you. You focus on the cross, it makes you love the Lord more and more and more. But not only do you focus on the cross, you remember your forgiveness. You remember how much God forgave you. See, there's a principle in Scripture that says this: he who is forgiven little loves little. And he who is forgiven much loves much. There are quite a few people in churches all over America, and they love little because they're like the Pharisees and they don't see that they have been forgiven very much. They say, "Well, I've only been forgiven little, and that's why I love little." Is that true of you? You feel like you've only been forgiven little? Anybody in here stand up and give a testimony? "Hey, it didn't take much of the blood of Jesus to save me because I'm such a good person. I'm so awesome. I'm so righteous." That's sickening. That's the way the Pharisees were. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you see your own sinfulness, and the more you stand in awe that he would love you and forgive you. "I've been forgiven much." And when you focus in on how much the Lord has forgiven you, it opens your heart to love him more and more. And lastly, you draw on his resources. You draw on the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. You draw on the fact that God has poured his love out to you within your heart. You have a huge conduit and pool of love to share with other people. See, he said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord. The second greatest commandment is to love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't ever get those turned around. If you really want to love your spouse and to love your kids and to love your friends and to love that hard person to love at work, you love God first and foremost, and he will enable you to love others. If you get it turned around and you start focusing in on your love for others and your love for God takes a back seat, you're never going to be the dynamic person of love that God wants you to be. You love God supremely above all else, and he enables you to love others. Now, Jesus answered this man's question. It was all about love. And that scribe was touched by Jesus' answer. And he responds back in verse 32, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one and there's no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Hey, it was huge for this guy to agree with Jesus. He was there to trap Jesus. He was part of a group that hated Jesus, and he agreed with Jesus. And Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." What does that mean? You're not far from the kingdom of God? What would that mean if Jesus said that to you today? Listen, John, listen, Bill, listen, Mary, listen, Ted, listen, Sarah, you're not far from the kingdom of God. I think what that means is that man was starting to get honest. He was starting to say, Lord, I've been taught all this stuff and I've debated all this stuff for years and I've studied the Mosaic Law for years and I'm starting to look at my beliefs compared to the Word of God, what is really true. Lord, I'm willing to follow that. Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom. I wonder today, if the Lord were to look at you, would he say, you're not far either. You're not far from the kingdom either. And the Lord loves you. And he wants to save you. He wants to have a love relationship with you. You say, well, I'm too much of a sinner. I'm just too filthy. He couldn't want me. He does. Whether you're respectable or whether you're despicable, the Lord wants to save you and develop a love relationship with you. I'll close with this story. That song that we sang in the early part of the service triggered this in my heart. In the 1900s, there was a pastor, an evangelist named Mordecai Ham. He was in Texas and he was preaching a revival. And there was a guy in the revival who had killed four people. He was sitting out in the congregation, sitting out in the audience. He felt so guilty. He felt so horrible. He felt so unredeemable. And Mordecai Ham preached about the love of God and he preached about the grace of God. And God touched this man. And this man saw for the first time the cross and he received Christ. And the Lord just enveloped him in his love. And at that meeting, that man, after he received Christ, he shouted and he said, saved, saved, saved. The music leader that night was a man named Jack Schofield. And that so touched his heart that this man had been saved by the blood of Jesus after he had done all these terrible sins that he went home and he wrote the words of the song, I've found a friend in Jesus who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you, saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Listen, if you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide and you might say, well, I'm far from the kingdom. No, all it takes is a step of faith and you'll be in the Father's arms of love.
If you're sensing a pull toward Jesus and his saving power, then look to Christ alone right now for the forgiveness of your sin. He promised to save all who trust in him. A promise from God. Listen, if you're beating yourself up over your past sins and failures, you need to have a change of heart. No matter what you've done, God loves you. He paid for all your sins and mine when he died on the cross. No matter how terrible your sin, you don't need to live under the whip of guilt and shame and condemnation, because the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All the wrath of God for all your sins fell on Jesus. And the moment we repent and receive Christ as Savior, the Lord, well, we receive his full pardon. Pardon from the King. We want to invite you to go to our website at fromhisheart.org. And the link there is called Why Jesus. You'll get all kinds of information about what it means to surrender your life to Christ. Again, go to fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus link. And God bless you on your journey to salvation for eternity. Well, time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us and listening to this lesson called How is Your Love Life? And we pray that you'll be here next time when Pastor Jeff Shreve will begin a transforming series entitled Unleashing the Power of God. That's next time here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that. Go to fromhisheart.org.